ఆయు శ్రీకీర్తిరైశ్వర్యం ఆశిష పురుషస్య యాః భవంతి ఏవ హి తత్కాలే యథా నిచ్చోర్విపర్యయా. ఆయు శ్రీకీర్తిరైశ్వర్యం ఆశీష పురుషస్య యాః భవంతి ఏవ హి తత్కాలే యథా నిచ్చోర్విపర్యయా. లేడీస్ ప్లీజ్. ఆయుః శ్రీకీర్తిరైశ్వర్యం ఆశీష పురుషస్య యాః భవంతి ఏవ హి తత్కాలే యథా నిచ్చోర్విపర్యయాః. ఆయుః శ్రీకీర్తిరైశ్వర్యం ఆశీష పురుషస్య యాః భవంతి ఏవ హి తత్కాలే యథా నిచ్చోర్విపర్యయాః. ఆయుః శ్రీకీర్తిరైశ్వర్యం ఆశీష పురుషస్య యాః భవంతి ఏవ హి తత్కాలే యథా నిచ్చోర్విపర్యయా. ఆయుః లాంజివిటీ, శ్రీః ఆప్యులెన్స్, కీర్తిః ఫేమ్, ఐశ్వర్యం పవర్, ఆశీషః బెనెడిక్షన్స్, పురుషస్య ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ, యాః విచ్ భవంతి అరైజ్ ఏవ ఇండీడ్ హీ సర్టన్లీ తత్కాలే ఎట్ దట్ ప్రాపర్ టైమ్ యథా జస్ట్ యాజ్ అనిచ్చో ఆఫ్ వన్ నాట్ డిజైరింగ్ విపర్యయాః రివర్స్ కండిషన్స్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శిలు ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జాయ్. జస్ట్ ఎస్ ఎ పర్సన్ నాట్ ఇన్క్లైన్డ్ టు డై మస్ట్ నందలెస్ గివ్ అప్ హిస్ లాంజెవిటీ, ఆప్యులెన్స్, ఫేమ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్. సో ఎట్ ది అపాయింటెడ్ టైమ్ ఆఫ్ విక్టరీ వన్ కెన్ గెయిన్ ఆల్ దీస్ వెన్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అవార్డ్స్ దెమ్ బై హిస్ మెర్సీ. పర్పోర్ట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గుడ్ టు బి ఫాల్స్లీ పఫ్డ్ అప్ saying that by one's own effort one has become opulent, learned, beautiful and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity, against his will, receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengal that the Lord has 10 hands. This means that he can control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. If he wants to take everything away from us with his 10 hands, we cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, if he wants to bestow benedictions upon us with his 10 hands, we cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benedictions exceed our ambitions. The conclusion is that even though we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them from us, and sometimes he showers such benedictions upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent on the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Shakhaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm still working out the Bhagavatam class schedule, so until then you're, I guess, stuck with me. Vritsura is giving this fantastic, I guess, class to Indra in the middle of a fight. And we've been hearing yesterday, or since a few days, that ultimately Krishna is in control of everything. And no living entity is in control of pretty much anything. And so whatever comes in one's life, and whatever is going away from one's life, is all by indirectly or directly the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, Narada Muni quotes, or Narada Muni says, Tasya eva hetu prayate tu ko vidaha na labhyate yat upar bhramatam upari adaha. That kovida means one who is learned, one who is wise. He does not hanker after or chase after those things that can be achieved either in the higher planets or in the lower planets. Because he says, Kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. Because by the agency of time, these things will anyway come. And by the agency of time, these things will anyway go. It's like we're sitting on a train and the stations are coming and going, coming and going. It's not like we are forcing the train to go somewhere. We're just sitting in the train and the train's moving. Similarly, we are in this material world, embodied in a particular species, and life is moving. The three modes of nature are just taking us from one situation to another, from one situation to another, to another, to another. And all we can do is witness or try to separate ourselves from the projection of thinking that we belong to this world, this situation belongs to me, or these things belong to me. It's just one scene to another scene, one scenario to another. What should the soul do rather than get caught up in this situation after situation? Look within, turn towards the Supreme Personality of God and recognize how things happen. In a school, children were asked, where does milk come from? And their answer was, you want to take a guess? From the grocery store. Now, milk doesn't come from a grocery store. Milk comes from a cow. But the fact that people don't know the source of everything or being disconnected from the source is a major issue within the material world. And because we don't have knowledge about the source or how things come from that source called Krishna, we tend to see what we call the secondary sources. We only see the instruments as the sources, and that's a problem. Because it keeps us still ignorant of the truth, if you will. And being ignorant of truth is not a safe or happy position. In fact, the more ignorant one is of the truth, the more suffering there is, or the more bewildered they are. But when one understands that Krishna is the source of everything, and we are trying to connect to Krishna, the sense of suffering goes away. Or say it differently, the cause of suffering, or the definition, one definition of suffering, if you will, is not being connected to Krishna. That is the cause of all suffering. And Ritrasura is telling us that these are things that people are attached to very strongly. Ayuhu, longevity. In one sense, it's true because we are eternal. So no one wants to die. No one wants to change things as well. Like I was explaining yesterday, a little discussion on changing the Sunday feast and so much disturbance. Because there's a tendency that we want to see things continue. There's a longevity sense to it. No one wants to die. In fact, there are so many pictures and examples that even if you crush a particular plant, somehow it wants to live and it will turn this way and that way, and the creeper, even the tree. If you place a table right over the tree, the trunk will go around the table. Or you can pick a wall, the tree will somehow grow through the wall. Or any living entity, as soon as you try to attack, the first thing it does is preserve its life. Therefore, in this material world, this preservation of life and fear, they go together. Or defensive mentality, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, or fear as it says. Ahara nidra bhayamaitvanamcha. So, when one has the sense of false proprietorship, fear is a natural concomitant, because those things that are not ours will be taken away. People are either in denial or don't want to face the truth. So ayuhu, long life. The longer the life, the greater the opportunity for sense gratification. Shri opulences. The greater the opulence, the greater the enjoyment. In fact, one may have a long life but not enough Shri. Still, they know how to enjoy their senses, even within that. But Shri facilitates the sense of enjoyment, different opulences. Kirti, fame. Everyone wants to be famous, somehow or the other. Whether it's in a small group, a larger group, a community, a nation, or the world, they want to be famous. They want to be known by others. They want others to acknowledge them and their contributions, if you will. Because opulences, this is one of Arjuna's arguments in the Bhagavad Gita. If I have all this opulence of a kingdom and all my relatives are dead, who am I going to enjoy it with? I need them to say, "Wow, Arjuna, you're such a lucky guy. You're so fortunate." And that makes that opulence more valuable. Suppose we buy a new jacket or something, some new possession. I'll be very happy about it. And nobody acknowledges it. No one even says, "Oh, nice something." No one acknowledges. our sense of enjoyment of that thing is reduced a little bit. Because what? No one knows, and then we somehow try to get their attention. And if someone should say, hey, nice thing, now it has proper meaning. The whole idea of doing this was so that people associate that thing and me together and say, wow, very nice. So Shri and Kirti together, opulence and fame have to go together, otherwise who cares? You know, we say there's so many persons who are very, very artistic, let's say, or they have some skill, but their skill never comes to light. People never know about them. So then they don't feel satisfied. But some skills, they're popular and people become famous. Oh, this is great. And that's why they want to show off their skills. Aishwaryam is power. As long as there is the life force within the body, there is some power. Different degrees, but power is there. These are all actually Krishna's qualities. Ayu, Krishna's Anadir Adir Govindam, the longest living entity. Shri, all beauty. He is called the husband of the goddess of fortune. So he's the owner of all beauty. He's the owner of all fame. He's the owner of all power. And then Ashishaha, benedictions. Everyone wants to be blessed with more and more of these. When someone, at least in India, if the tradition is that whoever is younger will bow down to whoever is older. And the blessing that they get is, may you have a long life. Dirghayu. Dirghayushman bhava. Dirghayu means may you have a long life. Dirghayushman, may you have a long life. Or they will bless, may you have money, may you have many children, which don't go together, because once you have many children and money, money goes away. You've seen that joke, the cartoon, there was a family, and they're all sitting on a couch. I think there were four. The daughter's has in her hand, and there's a little bubble on top of them, so they're saying or thinking, iPad. The next one says iPhone, iMac, iPad, iPod, and the father says iPad. But they want benedictions. Generally, the benediction that they want is within this material world, something material, because it's tangible. There's a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. I like this one, so I say it again and again. When Srila Prabhupada was traveling through India in a first class compartment, and I don't know if you've traveled, but first class is, you know, only two beds, and then there's a door, and then the next section is two beds and a door. So Prabhupada would travel first class so that his travel is comfortable. And Brahmananda Swami and Tamal Krishna Goswami were guards at that door. So that, because in India, as soon as someone is seen in saffron clothes, people run, flock to them to say, please give us benedictions. Ashirwad, it's called. So these, the two young men, they somehow saw Prabhupada and they wanted to get into the train to ask Prabhupada for blessings. So Brahmananda Swami and Tamal Krishna Goswami somehow were making sure that these two don't get in. So after a little dodging this and that, they snuck through. And they came to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting down on the, it's called the berth. And these two gentlemen came and said, Swamiji, blessings please, Ashirwad. And Prabhupada generally would joke about Ashirwad because most people want material benedictions. So Prabhupada said, oh, you want Ashirwad? You see these two young men, and there were these nice American prabhus, shaved head, sikha, tilak, you know, and danda in their hand, right? So you want Ashirwad? I'll bless you to become like these two. I And immediately those two men, no, no, thank you, Swamiji. And they ran out because they were afraid that by his blessings, all these things, Ayush, Shri, Kirti, Aishwaryam, would be taken away. And to live like a renunciate is very painful. They wanted blessings by which their sense gratification can be improved. But what is the real benediction? The real benediction, we understand, is the association of devotees, pure devotees. There's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam, Tulayama Lavenapi Nasvargam Na Punarbhavam. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Uta Ashishaha. What kind of benediction parallels or equals even a moment of association with a pure devotee? That it surpasses and outweighs heavenly benedictions, even liberation has no value when compared to a moment of association with a pure person. And he says, all these things are taken away at the time of death. And interestingly enough, the human being spends his or her entire life trying to gather these things which are going to go away. What stays? Nothing. Nothing stays. In fact, even the body doesn't stay. It becomes ash or dirt or stool. Yet, a person is very busy accumulating these things, doing things for attempting to lengthen their life further, attempting to collect different types of opulences, power, fame, all these things that are not, they don't belong to him or her at all. But that's the endeavor throughout life. And where does one get these things? Prabhupada writes, everything comes from Krishna. So Krishna can give and the same Krishna can take. And Krishna has 10 hands. That means he can reach anywhere. The 8 directions, up and down. These are the 10 directions. So he can reach anywhere and he can take whatever he likes. And it's not because he's cruel or hard-hearted. One, because everything belongs to him anyway. And second, he does it in a way that is ultimately beneficial for the soul. There was a pastor who made an announcement to his congregation at the beginning of a year, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, final projects that we want to work on for the rest of the year. And we've also identified all the money that we need for these projects. Now, only thing is that money is sitting in your pockets. It's like that. Everything is Krishna's. It's just sitting in different person's pockets. And so Krishna, when he wants, he says, I'm taking. And then we say, no, 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 that's mine. He says, no, 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 it's mine. No, I worked very hard for it. He says, still, it's mine. Lakshmi Devi belongs to me. And in some cases, he gives. It's described when Krishna takes with his 10 hands, how much can we hold back with our 2 hands? We try to hold things somehow. How Krishna takes it away is through the agency of death, or even between, you know, people go through ups and downs in life. Here he says, reverses. Viparyayaha, the reversals in life. Happily going this way, and don't know what happened, from where, out of the blue, life moves the other way. Major reverses. Death, injury, whatever. Reverses. Out of the blue. It's just because we are not aware. The conditioned living entity does not have one ability. You know what that is? It's to predict what will happen the next moment. We don't know. We hope that everything goes according to our plan. And we build our life, we plan everything according to our hope and some conviction that everything will go according to our plan. But it doesn't happen like that, right? Do our plans work? Rarely. But it's nice to make a plan. But it's not necessary that those will work that way. And when Krishna wants to give, is described how much can one hold. Hiranyakashipu, he had overpowered the entire universe. It's described to such a degree that when he would raise his eyebrow, all the demigods would shiver. Oh, Hiranyakashipu is raising his eyebrow. I hope I am not the object of his anger. Or it says that when Ravana, he had his throne up 10 steps, and on each step he would place his foot on one of the demigods controlling the different planets, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, like that. He would step on them and go, and they were like, because he had that authority. He had controlled all the planets. Generally we say that the planets influence our destiny in one sense, right? That's why many people are into reading of the planets in the almanac. They want to see, oh, which zodiac sign do you belong to today? What's my day going to look like? And in India, they take it to another extreme. They have 10 fingers and 14 rings to somehow counteract the influence of all the planets. You know, you've seen people with so many rings in their hands. Yeah, there's a whole science called gemology or something. Gemology. That for each kind of planet, a particular type of stone has resonance, and it allows for... So suppose your sun is weak. It's in the weak house, as they say in astrology. Then they wear certain rings by which the sun's rays become enhanced, influence is stronger. Or if someone's Mercury or Mars is in the wrong place and it's influencing in a wrong way, then they wear certain colors, certain stones to, you know, adjust for that. Some persons whose Mercury is not good, they wear, I think, a red color clothes or something. And people follow it like anything. Red this, blue that, sapphire this, moon is not okay, pearls or something. Anyway, don't go do things, because I'm just speaking without any knowledge. I heard in class I should wear... what you should hear is you should not wear these things. Just serve Krishna and Krishna will take care of all the planets. Krishna's anyway taking care of the plan. But the idea is they try all these things. So Hiranyakashipu, he had everything. But when Narsingadev came, grabbed everything from him. And he had no way to hold any of these opulences, the power. And on the other hand, when Krishna gives, he is so liberal in what he gives. Let's describe, we don't know how Sudama... something so much more in return. Sudama didn't know how to handle all that wealth. It's like going to the Niagara waterfalls with a tiny cup, filling water and saying, I got so much mercy. From Krishna's point of view, how much you missed, right? How much we've, this little cup of water, Krishna saying, I'm giving so much more, but you're missing out. We don't have the full take when he gives with all his 10 hands. Because he's the controller. That's the point. He can give, he can take. So when he gives, we use it in Krishna's service. And when he takes, we go and do some other service. We don't whine. We take. Whenever he takes, he can take it away. He can take this body, he can take opulences, he can take our fame, he can just take anything he likes. And to know that that is how Krishna operates is important. Aslisya va padaratam pinashtuman adarshanan marmahatam karotova. However you treat me, Krishna, that's fine. You're still my worshipable object. You may give, you may take. Okay, any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for speaking. I wanted to share first a comment and then a question. When I go out on book distribution sometimes, and I will stop people, so I will eternally give them a compliment. And like, you can see in my face, I'm faking it. I'm like, I do not, like I would say, nice shoes, nice cloth. And they can see that I'm like a salesperson, I'm holding books in my hand, I'm going to stop them and give them books. But still they would smile. Somehow, because the whole day that nobody compliments them, but when somebody gives like a fake compliment, they like smile, like somebody has finally...
Even fake is all right. Yeah. That's fine.
Somebody that finally seeing that I have made a good selection, like wearing nice clothes, nice shoes. So my question, Prabhu, so people have this common sense, or at least I think so, that things which they have, they're going to lose it one day. It is not that they're not aware of this knowledge. However, yet they do not surrender to God, or yet they do not surrender to God or Krishna. They do not surrender. They do not practice religion. So what is lacking there? Because they understand it, that whatever possessions they have, they're going to lose it. They have experience of that. They have not been able to keep anything for a very long time. So what is it that can make them devotees, or what can we do?
Well, not everyone sees, or as it says in the Bhagavatam, pashyan api na pashyati. They see but they don't see. You know the pastime of Prabhupada? They see but they don't see. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was taking a morning walk. And this time the morning walk was round the campus. He had not gone out. So he would make a circle, come back, would pause, and he would say, they see, but they do not see. And he would walk again. He'd come back, he'd stop at the same point, he'd say, they see, but they do not see. So he did it about 3 or 4 times. So they were wondering, what is this? And they had quite a bit of, you know, devotees following him. So he said, you see that it was daylight, broad daylight. And the bulb was on, one of the lights was on. And Prabhupada says, everyone sees that the light is on, but nobody turns it off. They're wasting Krishna's energy. They see, but they do not see. They don't do anything about it. So in one sense, everyone sees. They see death around them. They see people, you know, the stock market crashed or something happened. There was a big layoff at the company, people lose their jobs, they lose their wealth, everything they see. But they do not attribute it to the original cause, as we were talking earlier. They think that the cause is something material. And so the solution is also to try and do something material to counteract it. Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham asadhyaha. No one has told them, because they can't know on their own, or we can't know on our own, that the solution is spiritual solution. Seeing that everything is sourced from Krishna. One doesn't see that. One doesn't try to connect to the source. One sees oneself so separate from the source, and everything else also is separate. Then it's up to me, how do I want to reconfigure my life in such a way that next time, such a thing, if it were to happen, I'm not in the same condition. So they work hard again. Therefore, it's described that the first and foremost thing that's relieving of all distress is Sambandha Gyan, to know we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and we're connected to Krishna, and everything is connected to Krishna. Without that knowledge, it is difficult. We see, but we do not see.
Just clarification of what you were saying. So can it also be that they don't want to see because seeing means you have to acknowledge that the foundation on which you're standing your understanding is not real or not strong enough, and that acknowledgement is fearful because they're not able to attach to something higher.
Yeah, very good point. The denial that whatever I have been doing, that's connecting to another piece I wanted to say about education. That the whole system of education, they have separated God from the educational system. Prior to that, when educational system was very much in line with theism, people would understand much better. But you remove God from the picture, it goes away. And then to her point, if you tell someone all the entire ideology that you've been basing your life on, oh, by the way, is wrong, it's like pulling the rug from under their feet. It's very fearful. We have faced certain persons who are into strong demigod worship. They've put in their heart into demigod worship. And when you explain to them that the demigods are also empowered by Krishna, and they're afraid. Oh no, now I have to give this one up? Too fearful. I don't know what will happen. They don't have anything to hold on to. That's a good point.
And holding on to doesn't happen maybe because then they have to give up their independent mentality. Because then they have to become submissive and surrender. And that's hard.
The way to get all these things, there's another way. How to get long life, opulence, fame, power, benediction. There's another way. It's called Krishna consciousness. But for that, something else has to happen and they're not prepared for it. I have to give this up to get that. And why should I give this up? I already... You know, when Sanatan Goswami, this man who had taken the touchstone from Sanatan Goswami, he said, I noticed that the touchstone is in a pile of garbage. That means you have something more valuable. Can I have that? Or can I have that and that too? Sanatan Goswami said, for you to have what I'm relishing, you have to throw that stone into the river first. It was interesting. He didn't tell him, it's the holy name. And the person would say, no thanks, this is good enough for me. So first you have to throw that. Oh, no, no, what is it? No, no, no. First throw the stone in the river. Then I will tell you. Okay, better be good. Oh, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Oh, jump right into the river. Look for that stone. So to get this, one has to give up that. Jitendra Prabhu, you have something?
Prabhupada said they don't see the source. Like they'll eulogize Einstein and Newton, but they don't really see where that brain is coming from. And then he also says fallible soldiers, the definitions of fallible soldiers.
That was the Pashyanapi na Pashyati verse, where it says that he sees all of them as Atma Saineshu. That is, He sees all of his family members, friends, and everything that he is holding on to as fallible soldiers.
They don't see the time factor. Hanging on and holding fast, hoping our little world will last. The future is uncertain and the end is always near. Hare Krishna.
Bhakta Luke. Okay. Jai Bharati. I can't remember any verses from Jaya Bharate, but Yaya always reminded me of Vyasadeva.
Hare Krishna. So we see that celebrities, you know, they spend their kind of lives acquiring these opulences.
Yes.
Usually, or anyone, any opulence, just to get people basically to love them, like, yes. You know, to get some acknowledgement, or we could say the higher thing is love or whatever. But we could see that, you know, with all these opulences, you know, people don't love, there's some motive, and that's why celebrities kind of feel, you know, lonely. So even, you were mentioning, even in our little circles or whatever, we try to get some attention either through some service, some gratitude. So is that our tendency to, like, you know, want to be, not necessarily be proud, but also to be loved? And so we could see in the lives of great saints, it's not that they're trying to seek the love of others, it's that they're trying to give love. And is it that we can't really, I'm not sure how to articulate my question.
Yeah,
is that
excellent question. Excellent question. In the conditioned state, we tend to get the attention of others because that's a way of substituting the love that we're missing. And so the adoration, the eulogy, the acknowledgement even, it doesn't even have to be eulogy, just the acknowledgement is that it has value, that, oh, someone is acknowledging that I even exist. Suppose in our community we never say, at least we all decide that we will not say Haribol to Jitendra Prabhu. Of course, for him it won't matter. Let's pick someone else. Let's say me. If we all agree that no Haribol to Nityananda Prandas, I'd be lost. A little acknowledgement says, oh, okay, I exist. Someone noticing me that I exist. Because the inside, there is a void. And I'm trying to fill that void by that acknowledgement, by eulogy, by praise, by fame. But those great sages whose heart is brimming with love for Krishna, because they realize that Krishna is the source of all love, they're not looking for any acknowledgement. In fact, they're only giving. And not only are they not looking for acknowledgement, those who are against them, to them also they're giving, like Haridas Thakur, these guys were cracking the whip at him. He was giving them their affection. Or the Avanti Brahmana. He just stops. Okay. These people are spitting at me and all. That's fine. So that void is what is the key motivator. Trying to fill that void. But in the absence of Krishna, that void never gets filled. It's always there. So celebrities, they're famous like anything. They like it that they're out on the street and everyone mobs around them. Yay, he looked at me. But then they die very lonely lives. Recently, this comedian died, right? What's his name? Robin Williams. And this whole discussion. The fellow used to make so many people laugh. What did he die of? Depression. So paradoxical. The fellow who can make people laugh and, I guess, make them happy died of depression because he himself was very sad. He could not have any relationship with anyone. But on stage, it's going on, you know, fantastic relationship. He's making people laugh, he's picking on people, they love it. I mean, he may even insult them and they love it. But inside, dying a very lonely life. No one. So that fame doesn't have much value. Yes. Nice, very nice question. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking of our Nectar of Devotion, we're studying these verses about proper renunciation.
Mm.
So we're hearing about these opulences, and often we hear this principle of engaging opulence in the service of Krishna. So we don't need to be averse to beauty or wealth or fame, because when we properly engage these things in Krishna's service, it can be very beneficial. But I was thinking this story you shared of Sanatana Goswami, he had the touchstone. So it would be easy to think, oh, how much service I could do for Krishna with the touchstone, having all this gold or everything, you know, whatever I wanted to do, basically. But still, he was very disinterested in that. And I guess I was seeing the connection in the purport, Prabhupada. It's very clear that simply by the mercy of Krishna, one can become opulent or lose his material position. But still, I mean, Sanatana Goswami, he had a touchstone. It seems like he could have done a lot with that, but didn't. I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
In the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where it's yukta ahara viharasya, yukta svapnava bodhasya, yukta chesta karma sudavan, where Krishna is talking about one should be regulated in the activities of eating, sleeping, and recreation and work. Prabhupada didn't, that refers to the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. And he doesn't say that they had balanced or, you know, how he said they never ate, they never slept. The verse says you should balance eating and sleeping, and he gives the example of Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur who never ate and never slept. That he didn't say, you know, okay, Yudhishthir Maharaj or Parikshit. He gives the extreme example. It is always stated, like, why such? When we say balance, Prabhupada gives the example of Rupa and Haridas Thakur. For things like the touchstone in Sanatana Goswami's case, Yukta Vairagya is important, because we're trying to fit in from the material world into the spiritual world. And because we're using those things, the tendency is to become used by them. As we say, instead of yukta vairagya, we become yukta. We become used by those things. And we forget Krishna. So yukta vairagya is a very wonderful principle that allows us to transform our consciousness from exploitation to service. After crossing to the other side, it's irrelevant whether there is opulence or not. So even in Yudhishthir Maharaj's case, when he was very opulent, he used everything in Krishna's service. And when he lost everything in the gambling match and had to live in the forest, he was able to live in the forest. We never hear in Mahabharata that Yudhishthir Maharaj complained, today I couldn't sleep well because the floor was very hard or something. They didn't get anything to eat, no complaint. They didn't have a place to sleep, no complaining. It didn't matter. It was irrelevant. So like that. For Sanatana Goswami, it's irrelevant whether the wealth is there or not. And he came from a very, very wealthy background. But it didn't matter. The Yukta Vairagya is for the transition. It helps change or transform our consciousness. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Prema.